Heavenly Father, we come today, and we know that Jesus is coming soon. We don't know the day or the hour. We don't know the exact sequence of the unfolding of the events. But we do know that we live in momentous and perilous times. And so as believers, we just pray that you would keep us looking up and that you would keep us, Lord, aware and in a mode of expectation, and that we would not get all bowed down and entangled in all the stuff of this world, but rather have our sights on you and, of course, on the work that you have given us to do, which is to spread the gospel. And so we pray today, Lord, just impress on us again the time that we live in. Impress on us the things that are important. And Lord, that we would not, on the one hand, be overly fearful, and certainly, on the other hand, not complacent, but that we would be in a mode of occupying and being faithful to you until you come. Our desire is to be lights for you in the midst of this dark world, and to stand for truth, and really to stand out and be different, because the whole world is going another direction, and even much of the outer church is going another direction. But we pray that as time goes on, Lord, that your true people will really stand up and be known. And Lord, that if it comes to that moment when we must make a decision, do I value my life more than I value eternal life, then, Lord, that we would know which way to decide. And in the meantime, that we would use our time well, because you said to make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Now take your word and use it in our hearts today, just to make us more aware, Lord, of where we need to be before you in these momentous times. We thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness and for giving us the warning. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I don't speak on this all the time, but over the years, I'm sure I've spoken on this a number of times. If I'm here for any length of time at all, probably be speaking on it again. These are things we know. These are things we're pretty familiar with in a lot of ways. But, you know, we really are living in it now. And they have this spring training every year, and they get out there and they, you know, prepare and all of that. But then the actual game time comes, and it's really important. I was at our grandson's basketball game yesterday. He does upwards basketball over at TAB, as does a grandson of the Sullivan. So we see each other almost every Saturday over there. That's quickly coming to a close. But you can, even though they're just starting and don't know all the rules yet and all the rest, but sometimes you do kind of get an idea, have they really been practicing or not? But hey, on game day, you find out, don't you? And so that's kind of how this is. And so we just need, you know, in that, what do they do in that training and stuff, whatever it is, basketball or baseball or anything else? They just keep going over the basics over and over and over and over and over. Isn't that what they do? And it may seem boring at times or whatever, but you have to do it, because if you don't, you just have to constantly. And I'm sitting there, you know, and over and over and over, you know, we're there for an hour, and there's two 20-minute periods during which the clock has never stopped. And during that time, the coaches, the parents and everybody else, now block him, now don't, and they're yelling out the instructions even as it's going on, you know, cover your man, defense, over and over and over. Well, I'm sure they've already been told that in practice, but everybody's out there telling them again, moment by moment, in real time, do this, don't do that, why did you do that? Thing is, this isn't a game. We really live in this world, and a lot of things are coming to pass that were prophesied. Now, many prophecies have been fulfilled down through the years, but let me tell you something. Since 1948, when Israel became a nation in May of 1948, the clock has definitely picked up speed. Do you get, I'm old enough, you know, I can kind of detect these things. You know, if you're younger, you only know, you know, what you see now. But those of us that are older, we know kind of what went before. Ask Verna Stevens if she thinks the world has speeded up quite a bit, huh? Wow. But we get used to what we know and all that, and we don't have anything to compare it to, and so it's real easy for us to be deceived. It's real easy to think that the things we're seeing are normal, that for two, you know, like gay people to marry is normal, that like, you know, whatever. I could give you many, many examples, but we haven't been rooted and grounded, and we don't have anything to compare it to in the past. And so we're just seeing what we see now, and we think, well, maybe this is normal. Well, it's not. And that's why, that's another reason God gave us His Word. We've been talking about why God gave us His Word, so that we can know. But these are times to be in the Word of God, and these are certainly times to be aware. So I just want to go over again, if you're one of those who do the notes, now would be the time to get those. And I've got, for those of you who like to read or whatever, I just posted about 5.5 of these size pages of supplemental scripture on this topic, which you can find on the snccc.org along with the message. But let's just pick out some of the things. See, they had been, it's just days before Jesus is going to be crucified. At night, he's on the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he's in the temple court, like we talked about, like the rabbis do. And the rabbi was in the temple court early teaching the people. And then in the evening, he and his disciples would go down across the Kidron Valley again, back up on the Mount of Olives and spend the night there again. And then in the morning, he was coming in and he was teaching. And as they were leaving the temple that day, it was a glorious temple. It had been built by Herod. It took 46 years to build. The platform that temple mount is on, including that Dome of the Rock today, I read one time, took 10,000 men 10 years to build. Now, you get some idea of the magnificence of this. And you see a building like that, and you're like, this is going to be here forever. So as they're leaving one day, one of the disciples says, Jesus, come look at all of this. And there, you know the pictures, and you probably, if you've ever been a tourist, you know, and you're going through some cathedrals or something, and you're just, you know, in awe. And so Jesus, he was always on a little different wavelength than everybody else. And then instead of saying, ooh and ah, Jesus said, yeah. He said, you see all this? He says, there's not going to be one stone on top of another that won't be thrown down. Well, that kind of... And so when they get out on the mount, that's when they say, tell us more. When is this going to happen? What is it going to be like? And all that. So then you have Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21, which are different versions of the same basic discourse, where Jesus tells them the things to expect and the signs to look for and all of that. Now, he never gives us a date. He never has given a date. And if anybody tells you they know the date, they are lying. They are not telling the truth because nobody knows the date. But having said that, he did tell us to be aware, to be alert, to be on the lookout, and for the general signs to be looking for. Now, I've had people say, now, all down through history, there's been, and it's true, there's been all kinds of awful times. You know, during that time of Hitler and Mussolini and the Jews being incinerated and all of that, a lot of people thought Hitler was the Antichrist. And there's been all kinds of others, you know, that people thought, and things are bad, and you can't blame them for feeling that way. But I'll say this now, but we are at one place we have never been before, and that is why I believe we are so close. Yes, we've had famines, we've had earthquakes, pestilences, all of these things, wars, rumors of wars, cruelty, and all kinds of things, and cycles all down through the years. Name me a time in history when we have had the technology that we have today, and where one of our missionaries who is probably around 12,000 miles away can Skype in our morning service. Have we ever been there? Have we ever had the technology to literally, if we wanted to, have one world banking system? Have we ever had a time when we could take a photo of our newborn baby and instantly send it to somebody on the other side of the world on our little phone doohickey thing? Have we ever had the weapons of war and of, what is that? It's almost cliche now because we hear it every day. Weapons of mass destruction. That's what they thought they were getting in Russia here a couple days when that small asteroid hit. But no, we have not been where we are today. And not only that, and I know I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. We're in 2013. Go back only 110 years and think of where history has moved in 110 years. We have had two world wars, and we have gone from horse and buggies, the most primitive models of the very first automobiles, to everything we see today. I ask you, is history moving quickly now? And with these types of capabilities in the hands of sinful and wicked men, and with iniquity and sinfulness increasing day by day, just like Jesus said it would, we will not be able to manage the technology we have without bringing destruction upon ourselves. My daddy was a very sinful man, but he said this. He was probably sinful too and needed to repent and accepted the Lord, right? But he was just a simple, basic man. But he said, you take a troublemaker that's throwing rocks at people's windows, send him to school and the university, and when he comes out, he'll be making bombs. That is the human heart. That is the evil human heart. The evil human heart has not changed. And one of these days, somebody is going to cut one of those things loose, and we're going to have a chain of events that is going to move so quickly that, you know, and it will what? It will catch everyone by surprise, including many of us. Because somehow we think, well, they've held off this long. They won't really do it. They won't, well, they will. The Bible says they will. And what I know about human nature says they will. It is only a matter of time. So all I'm saying is this. We have not been where we are in history before, and we now have things at our disposal. And we can see, of course, now there's a lot of speculation. First it was the Mayan thing. Now it's the prophecy of St. Malachi. I don't know how many of you have heard about that, but St. Malachi lived in the 1500s. And he supposedly had a vision in which he saw all the remaining 112 popes that would live and wrote a little bit about each one. Well, guess who is Pope number 111? The very one who, for the first time in over 600 years, just announced this week that he is stepping down. So you can imagine how the interest has peaked in that particular prophecy. Is it a real prophecy? I have no idea, and I'm not hanging my hat on that. But I am saying this. There are things going on that are making people think this way, even people who don't know the Word of God. There are a lot of people out there that get a general sense that, hey, you know, we do live in a spatial time. But as believers, what is the main thing the Lord would tell us? If the Lord Jesus Christ was right here this morning giving us a little lesson on the time we're living in, what do you think he would say? I think he would say exactly what he's already said. And that's why we have the Word. So, based on what Jesus said to his disciples, it is time to, number one, watch out. That's his first answer in verse 4 of chapter 24. Watch out that no one deceives you. In another place he says, watch out that you don't get all bogged down with the cares of this life and all this stuff of the daily living, and that this day come upon you unawares. It is going to catch a lot of people unawares. But he says, watch out. Watch out in the sense of be careful, be on your guard. Be careful, because there's a lot of deception out there. Has there ever been more deception out there than there is right now, and more ways to disseminate it? With the internet and things like that, it is possible now for anybody to post anything and get anything out there. And there's a lot of misinformation out there. And there are a lot of false prophets out there. So he says, watch out and don't be deceived. Then he says, keep watch. In verse 42. Now, watch out and keep watch. Not exactly the same thing. Watch out. Be on your guard. But keep watch, meaning stay awake, stand guard. This is more like be on the lookout. Be on the lookout. And he gives us the illustration. If somebody knew when the thief was coming, what would he do? He'd be on the lookout. So even as we go about our daily lives, we've never had more things to keep us entertained than we have now. I tell you what. A lot of it seems to be electronic, but whatever it is, we've never had more things. And more sports, and more this, and more that. And even watching the news is almost a sport anymore. More things to keep us entertained and thinking about anything except what life is really about, what the Lord has really commissioned us to do, how we should really be using our time today, what we should really be doing, and what we should really be focusing on, and these things. And so, be on the lookout, even as we go about our daily affairs. Sure, there are things we've got to do, and there's things we've got to take care of. But even as we do it, we are what? On the lookout. Because we know we live in a time when Jesus literally could come any time. He says, you don't know the time. So, look out. That's what he says. He said, since you don't know the exact time, look out. Be on the lookout. So that would be my advice to all of us today, that we be on the lookout, because, hey, it could be any time. Number three, when we get down a little bit closer, he says there in Luke 21, 28, stand up and lift up your heads. Woo! That's what those disciples were doing, right? Gazing into heaven. He said, why are you standing here gazing to heaven? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So in an attitude, at least, we are to be what? Standing up and looking up. That's what those people did. They said that's why so many people got injured the other day, about 1,000 people when that meteor hit, because they saw the light, they went and stood in front of their windows, and then when the boom came, the glass broke, and they got injured. But they were on the, it got their attention. We need to be on the, that's what they did, but we need to be lifting our heads. And of course, the simple, be ready. Be ready. Be ready. How many here like to go camping? What's the first rule of camping? Be ready. Make sure you have a first aid kit. Make sure you have a tent. Make sure you have a little burner. Make sure you have, we could go on and on. Be ready. And as believers, he says, be ready. Again, because you don't know when he's coming. So be ready. Which is like saying, be current. Be up to date. Don't be neglectful in the things of the Lord and the things you should be taking care of. Be ready. that if Jesus came, are you ready right now? Amen. And hopefully we are during the week as well. Lord, I'm ready. We better be ready, because it's coming whether we're ready or not. General signs, we know them well. Number one, wars and conflicts. We don't have a Soviet Union. We don't have a Cold War anymore. So everything's cool, right? There are probably more regional conflicts going on right now than any time that I can remember in my entire lifetime. Kingdom against kingdom. There's so many of them, a lot of them never even get reported. We never hear about the ones, you know, except when, like, recently there were some hostages, so we heard about a little of what's going on in Africa. But that place, I mean, that's kingdom against kingdom. There are tens of thousands of people being killed all the time. 70,000 have died just in this internal conflict in Syria in the last 24 months. How many? 70,000. And we go on and on and on. There is no peace, folks. We call it peacetime because we're not actively engaged in a full-fledged war. But we certainly have plenty of our military men and women overseas deployed, don't we? So, wars and conflicts. Number two, natural disasters. Been any of those recently? Is it just us? Or are they getting more frequent? And are they getting bigger? And are they getting meaner? Natural disasters, famines, and epidemics. We haven't seen the worst of the epidemics yet. Those antibiotic-resistant bugs are getting stronger every day. And it was just in the news in the last couple of weeks, a major epidemiologist in Europe was saying to the people, look out, because any time now we could have a massive epidemic by one of these bugs that will not respond to treatment. But that's with all the modern medicine we have and everything else. Number three, false religion and deception. And again, there's something out there to please everyone, you know. Number four, rampant immorality and wickedness. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. Well, that's what he was talking about. And I have those verses here. See if I can find them real quick. See if I can find it. I don't want to take too long. Let's see. Now the earth. Let's see. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with the violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. That sound like anything we might be living right now? Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was. Increased, every form of wickedness and immorality is just prevalent everywhere now. And by the way, that word wickedness, and it's even in the NIV, it's translated wickedness. That one of the verses we read was, because wickedness or iniquity will abound, the love of many or the love of most, in the Greek it's the many, the love of the many will grow cold. Folks, we are seeing that right before us. And by the way, the Greek word there is anomia, which means lawlessness. And we live in the day of lawlessness. Again, none of the old rules or old laws apply. It's like each person do whatever they think is right. And that is the whole climate. And there's a whole movement, there's a breakdown of law and order all over the world. Now, this is another thing that you do not hear reported very much. But how many remember catching just glimpses in the last 2 or 3 years when things got so bad economically in Greece of the people slashing and burning all over Greece? Did you all see some of that? See, that's a breakdown of law and order. And it is happening all over the place. Even in Venezuela, where they have a strong, leadership or whatever, but the murder rate there is one of the highest in the world. And there are whole large areas of large cities in Venezuela right now where even the military or the police don't want to go because that's how bad it is. There are lawless sections of town in all our big cities. Our president just went to Chicago this week to talk about the violence there because it is a bloodbath. And he mentioned the fact that just every, every little bit, he said that enough die there in Chicago now to equal 4 of those tragedies like we had at the school a few weeks ago. And so there is a breakdown of law and order, and there is lawlessness. Hey, whatever. We don't have to follow the old rules. We can just do whatever we want to do. And so that is where we are at, and that is one of the signs of the end time. Another one is persecution of Christians. That is also a very, very underreported thing that is always going on, and that's why you have groups like the Voice of the Martyrs, which will bring you up to date a little bit on that. But Christians are hated. And even though we're not openly persecuted in this country right now, we are the most evil spoken of. Conservative believers are referred to as right-wing extremists, whatever. We're looked at as actually a danger anymore. And if we talk out on certain social issues or moral issues or whatever, we're considered, fringe people. And so that is only going to get worse. And we are, unless something changes, that's just the way it's going to be. And he said, you'll be persecuted. You'll be hated by all people for my sake. Now, some think he may be talking there to the Jews because his followers were all Jewish. But he says, for my sake. And the Jewish people aren't suffering for his sake. They're suffering because they're Jews. And, of course, that's going to happen, too. So under number 6, I have anti-Semitism. And I've been reading here recently, in the last couple of years, there's a resurgence of anti-Semitism in Germany and in many of those countries of Europe right now at a level that it has not been since the days of Adolf Hitler. And there's a lot of anti-Semitism right here in our own country today. So these are things that he said would happen. And then ultimately, I don't think we've had a lot of this yet, but he said and number 7, distress of nations. Now that one is in Luke 21:25. There will be distress of nations, perplexity of nations. And the Greek word there means a narrowing. It means nowhere to go. It means, like our saying, between a rock and a... Isn't that where the euro is right now? And isn't that what we ourselves are currently witnessing? I'm of the firm conviction that a lot of this bickering that's going on back and forth in Washington right now and people taking sides and fighting is just a diversion, because I kind of think that both sides know there is no fix, and so they're keeping us entertained in the meantime. Now, maybe I'm right or maybe I'm wrong, but I'm telling you, we are working ourselves into a situation where there will not be a solution. We will be out of solutions, and that is when we will have, if it happens, the total breakdown of law and order. So I'm just letting you know, but worldwide, we can already see the stirrings of this, and it will only get worse. But nations are literally already that way. They're meeting and meeting and meeting and meeting and meeting and meeting, and nobody really has a solution. All they have are little stopgap measures and little things that'll buy them a little more time. And we've come to hear this phrase a lot, even here at home, kicking the can down the road, right? Do you know why they do that? Because they don't have a solution. That's why. And number eight, signs in the heavens. And of course, that'll probably be when we actually get more into the actual, and most of us are hoping we won't be. Oh, hallelujah. What are we hoping? The church will be caught out? Some think we'll be here through the tribulation. I hope the pre-trib folks are right myself. But I will say this, whatever your view on that stuff, Jesus' words were what? Be ready. And as believers, the main things I think we need to guard against are, on the one hand, complacency. And in all those passages, it says it's going to catch people by surprise. People, in spite of how bad things are, the truth is most people are pretty complacent. And most people are thinking in the back of their minds, including many Christians, well, things have held together this long, so they're probably going to, you know. And so complacency. And then the other one, I don't know, I haven't found the word for it, but just getting so involved, and that's what Jesus warned us against, getting so involved in the thing. How many are familiar with the word vortex? And when you have a whirlpool, if you get pulled in a river or something like that, and you get pulled into that whirlpool, the force of the suction is so strong, it will pull you under. And that is how the things of the world are right now. They are like a powerful vortex. And if we are not careful, we may say, well, I'm out here on the edge of it, so I'm okay. Don't be so sure. And these things are powerful, and they begin to pull us in, and eventually, if we're not careful, we will be sucked under. Stay in the Word of God. Keep your balance. I don't want to pick on Neil, but I heard he's lost his balance the other day. Did you lose your balance the other day? And then what happened? Okay. So is keeping our balance pretty important? The only way we're going to keep our balance in this world, we're not going to do it by watching the news and by, we need to be informed. Do these things, but be aware. But don't, you can watch something and be aware of something without becoming a part of something. And that is what, as believers, we've got to do. I can watch it, I can be aware of it, but I am not a part of it. And if the Lord, by His grace, enables me to pluck two or three others out that are getting ready to be sucked in, then so be it. But to be aware. So on the one hand, not to be complacent. But then we have other people that just live in constant, almost a petrified fear all the time. That isn't the Lord's will either. And Jesus says, don't do that. He says, these things have to happen. The end is not yet. See that you need be not, you know, troubled. I'm covered either way. Amen? As a believer, I'm covered either way. So whatever comes, we're fine. We're going to be with Him. Amen? But they are times to be aware. Jesus' words over and over and over, be aware, be aware, be aware, be aware, be aware. They tell us now when you go into a parking lot at a shopping center or a Farm Fresh or anywhere, what do they tell you? Be aware of your surroundings. Don't be petrified by fear, but be aware. And as believers, He says, you are not of, we are of the day and not of the night, that that day should catch us what? Unawares. So I'm glad to know that, hey, Jesus is coming soon. In the meantime, we need to be in the Word of God. In the meantime, we need to not forsake the gathering of ourselves together, as the custom of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:25, we need to be about spreading the Word every way that we can to people. We need to be prayed up. We need to be ready to go. Amen? Because, hey, when the train leaves, it's not waiting for us. Shall we pray? Father, we come to you today, Lord. We know what times we live in, and you've already told us. So if we get sucked into it, it's our own fault, because you already told us. So help us as your people, Lord, to be aware. Help us to be prayed up. And help us to not only be aware, but help us to be about your business and the things that you have charged us to do. Jesus said, we must work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Help us to be busy about your business. We thank you, Lord, and above all, that every single one of us really would be ready at all times. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.